morning, everybody. As she said, I'm Chrissy Tsai. I attended Stanford back in the 90s, and I attended PBC, got such great teaching. I remember it was a class with Charlie Luce, a former elder at PBC, who moderated a class on Ray Stedman teaching through the Book of Romans, chapters 1-8, and that was pivotal in my life, just realizing what it means to be saved by grace. I realized I had been living a life of an empty shell, doing all the Christian activities, but where was Christ and that relationship with him in my heart? So I remember in June of 97, it felt like the scales fell away, a light switch turned on, and I realized that Jesus died on the cross for my sins, and I was saved. A year later, that led to me going overseas to East Asia. Just for security's sake, for the people who are still there in country, God has been doing a lot, raising up national Chinese believers who are now going as missionaries to other countries. So we want to protect the ministry that we have over there. I spent 10 years overseas. I can hardly believe it. I used to be able to say it was a third of my life. Now that's gone down to a fourth, almost. And now I've been back here in the States for 3 years. One of the reasons that I returned was that I went through burnout. It was a combination of things. The simplest explanation is that the ongoing, interminable external ministry needs and circumstances combined with internal issues, performance, people-pleasing, indispensability, my nicer word for having a savior complex. So these past 3 years have also been a journey of recovering from burnout. I felt like I related most with the Israelites in exile. Here they were being sent to Babylon for 70 years and having to continue to trust the Lord and not listen to false prophets who spoke of the original dreams the Israelites had. And for me, that was to return to ministry, but God meant this to be a season of rest. Just this summer, I've been able to see breakthrough. God, in his graciousness, has just lined everything up. He's continually, faithfully worked through all these years with my limited capacity and all, still to work in my heart, to bring me again to a place of surrender and, again, that old fleshly habit or pattern of living the empty shell of a life. So this summer, I'd love to share more about it with you, just how God brought about the breakthrough. But I feel like I'm a baby again on baby legs and stumbling here and there. But I have Christ and that relationship on the inside. And everything else is truly meant to be an overflow. So that would be a prayer request, just that I would continue to walk in that, continue to abide in him and depend on him and really have his life flow through me in all that I do. So I work with Crew now. We're officially changing our name to Campus Crew in January of 2012. If you have questions about that, you can come and talk to me about it afterwards. We center our mission and what we're about on the Great Commission, to go and make disciples of all nations, maybe not so much baptizing people, but teaching people to obey the commands that Jesus has given us. For us, we realize that college students are such a strategic group of people of the younger generation to reach. I love how our national director has said, college is a critical time in people's lives. It can be either a spiritual greenhouse or a spiritual graveyard where a student's faith can either blossom or die. And maybe you can think of your own times in college. What was the spiritual environment like for you or for children or other, as you have kids that are going to go to college one day, what are the things that you think about in terms of the environment that they'll be entering into? We see that college students are not only strategic because they're going to be future influencers and leaders within their community, But also, well, since I was overseas for 10 years, coming back to the States, I've seen the need for Christ that college students have even more than 15 years ago. We see the moral degradation that's happening in culture. Well, it's happening on campus, and already, like with secular humanism, it was already a place where God was increasingly not just left out, but pushed out. I think of my years at Stanford, and that was in the 90s, and that was a place where professors were saying, if you have a faith, then you are not being rational. You are putting, turning off your brain and not living the life of the intellectual, rational man that we were intended to be. And then these days, what I see so much of is hedonism, just that old-time approach of life, like just grab what is going to bring you pleasure and live for the moment, seize the day, like in terms of gratifying your desires and pleasures. I think also with the broken families, the increasing broken families in America, that already in high school, just like even Gunn High School, I myself was shocked to hear about students committing suicide. And then they get to college and they're in this place where, freedom is king. Here, you're free from your parents and life is at your fingertips. And what is in that fire hydrant of water that comes gushing forth that they're going to try to get a drink out of? We've seen, I think with the growing number of wounds or problems that college students are bringing into school, we've seen it come out in or manifest itself in different ways. So sexual immorality has continued to grow, addiction to pornography, both men and women. There's self-mutilation. We've seen the number of people on antidepressants and dealing with anxiety or panic attacks increasing overall. Eating disorders, problems with anger issues. So there's just a host of problems and struggles that college students have these days. And so, there's both the strategic side of wanting to reach college students, but also the need. Like here's a group of young people that don't know the Lord. One of my favorite stories about Bill Bright, the founder of our organization, I don't remember all of the details, but it was about 20 years after he had started Campus Crusade in 1951. So it was in the 70s, and at one of the campuses, they were able to do a wide survey of what students, what their spiritual interest was, that kind of thing. So Nay Bailey, one of the staff who had worked closely with Bill and Vonette Bright since the beginning, she came back and reported that they had such and such a number of students who said on their surveys that, yes, they wanted to know more about Jesus Christ, but they didn't know how. It was a large number, some thousands, I wish I remembered. So Bill Bright, he just looked at Nay Bailey, and he was taking that in. So he repeated that number, whatever it was, a few thousand or so. And then Nay said that he just started to cry, and he put his head down on his desk in his office and wept. And he just said, they don't know how. They don't know how. So we can rejoice that I feel that even here in America, the openness to spirituality in the culture is a good thing. There are pros and cons to everything, right? It's a good thing in that people are talking about spirituality, and it's no longer just reason and our rational thinking and depending on human ability and strength. But of course, it also ushers in a whole lot of other things that are scary and frightening. Students are open to spirituality, searching. They've got questions. But that same question remains. Like they don't know how, or they don't know that Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. What we have set our hearts to do is to go about helping to fulfill the Great Commission, and that's through winning students to Christ, through evangelism, and then building them up to be disciples and followers of Christ, and then sending them out to do the same. Thought I'd share a few stories. I actually have time. Okay, so in terms of winning people to Christ, I had a personal highlight this summer. I helped to lead the San Diego Summer Project. It was only 2 weeks, and we were right on Mission Beach. We had a hotel that was walking distance from the beach. And the first afternoon that we were paired up to go out and share our faith, Stephen and I, a student at Cal State Bernardino, bumped into this man, a 40-year-old businessman named Doug. And I truly believe God had just prepared him for that day. We went up to him with a spiritual interest survey and got to talking, and it came out that he believed that he had messed up so bad, and because he had stopped going to church, he was past saving. And he had heard that there are 100,000 people who will get to go to heaven, and he just figured that that number has already been met. So it was neat to be able to share with him the gospel. We showed him the diagram from the Knowing God Personally booklet. You know, here's a holy God and sinful man, and it is through Jesus Christ alone, not through any of our works or efforts, that we will be saved. And I believe it was the Spirit, because he got it then and there. And so he prayed to receive Christ, and we tried to help him get plugged into a church also. So just exciting to see, okay, I got to be there and be used by God. I didn't have to be, but God is working in people, and you never know who already has questions in the back of their head or just need to have things clarified. Another really encouraging story is at San Francisco State, one of the staff girls there had a heart to reach out to the queer club on campus at SF State. So she ended up meeting an international student from China. His name is Jia. He was homosexual, but he was somehow drawn to Alex. And so the two of them got to talk about God. And in the course of the year, he accepted Christ. And this summer, he went back home, and he shared with his family members and relatives. And so far, one of his aunts has accepted Christ and become baptized. He's back this year, and he's now left the queer club, and he's attending the international club. And he is wanting to share his faith with other students that he meets there. Okay, I had another story, but for the sake of time. In terms of building these believers into followers of Christ, like, we want them to be true followers. I think we have plenty of Christians who say that they're Christian, but they're not following the Lord or obeying his commands. So for example, like this San Diego mission trip that I was on, we had teaching in the morning. So there was teaching on the Holy Spirit, who he is, and what it means to walk in his life. And then we also had training times to teach students how to share their faith, how to listen, how to understand different worldviews, how to ask questions. And it was so neat just to have a few students say, like, hearing about the Holy Spirit. They had never heard much teaching on the Holy Spirit at all. And one girl, Shannon, said in particular, I feel like a burden has been lifted off my heart, because it is the Spirit and Christ who is going to work in me and not myself. A lot of our summer mission trips, the students, because they're 10 weeks long, students can actually get jobs. So while they're getting trained on sharing their faith, they get to practice that with the coworkers that they have, be it at McDonald's or wherever. It's been exciting to see also, fall retreats and conferences, God is able to use those as pivotal times to help students be challenged to follow him in their daily lives and to make choices to take steps of faith to follow him. Last year at UC Irvine's fall retreat, there was one guy, a junior, John, who realized through the retreat that he should be making the most of his time in college. So through that retreat, he ended up committing to faithfully going to Bible study and even getting trained, so that this year he has been able to lead a Bible study of men. So we're excited about that. More men, you know, Lord, raise up more men as followers. So we want to win students to Christ, build them up as believers and followers, and then send them out to do the same. So I mentioned the summer project. At the end of our two-week summer project, we were also able to talk with the students, how are you going to leave this summer project? What are the ways that you want to continue to follow the Lord? So it was really neat to have a small group time where they first spent time, devotional time, thinking through some questions that we gave them. And then in our small group time, they shared about what God had shown them. So Hannah is on a soccer team at her school in Wisconsin, and her dream was to be able to start an investigative Bible study with the girls on her soccer team. So far, she's at least been able to talk to some girls and find out where they're at, and there's curiosity. So she's moving towards that. And then there's one guy, Carlos. He got a job while we were there, so we were all celebrating for him. And he has found, he got a job at a construction company, and he's found two other believers there. So they have started praying a prayer time weekly, and they're hoping to see God work, just to open up the hearts of the people that they work with. There's more I could tell. Let's see. I don't work on campus right now. Right now, my part in helping to fulfill the Great Commission is more to help our staff, to care for them and to develop them as leaders. So my team is the leadership development team, and this is a perfect fit for me because God has wired me more in terms of discipleship. So I love to encourage and exhort through the Word, help to make biblical truths applicable in daily life. So my team is part of caring and training our staff on the field. Our region is California, Arizona, and Hawaii. So we have 200 staff stateside on the field and 80 overseas in 12 different locations. So it is kind of a big task, but I'm excited to be part of this team. I'm helping to lead the team and figure out, what are the problems in the future that we want to do the problem solving now and prepare for how God continues to bless us with numbers. So I'm here in the Bay Area raising support. I've been under in terms of my monthly need. I just wanted to throw that out as well. When I came 3 weeks ago, I was needing 1,100 monthly, and God has provided 600 so far. So God has been faithful. I totally believe that it's the Lord who's going to stir people's hearts and match up people who are meant to be on each other's teams. If you are interested at all, either in receiving a newsletter to join us in prayer, because I really do believe it is a spiritual work too. If we could be sharing our faith and evangelizing or training till we're blue in the face, but unless the Lord works in the heart to respond to him, then it's useless. So if you are interested in getting newsletters to add your prayers to the work that God is doing, you can sign up here. I'll pass this around, I guess, from table to table. And if you would like to hear more or are interested in giving, considering giving, you can check here and I can contact you. I also had a couple newsletters. I'll put these in the back, I guess. There's one about our welcome week at UC Irvine. I helped the staff team there. And then I have a couple of how I got started. God used a summer project in my life, and that's how I ended up in China for 10 years. So if you're interested at all in that, you can grab those from the back.